Hello and welcome to The Debate. I'm Marzia Hashemi. Thanks so much for being with us. How much more pressure must the Palestinians be put under? Well, it seems that their suffering is continuing, especially for those Palestinians living in the Gaza Strip. The coastal area has been under siege by Israel for years, and their Egyptian counterparts aren't much better. Passage from the crossings are severely restricted, and as tunnels are the main supply route to the outside world for Gazans, these tunnels are frequently attacked by Israel and by the former Mubarak regime in Egypt. And now, under the current Egyptian regime, the tunnels are being flooded with sewer water and bulldozed. The question is why? And why does the United States continue to look the other way as these human rights violations continue?
And Prime Minister Netanyahu.
As the U.S. sponsors the so-called peace process between Israel and the Palestinians, it once again takes the side of Tel Aviv while forgetting about the basic rights of the people besieged in the Gaza Strip. The Israeli siege on the Strip has caused more suffering for the Palestinians living there due to the inaction of the U.S. and its allies. Now, this rubs salt to the wounds of Gazans. Egypt, under the military-backed interim government, has tightened measures to choke up the only lifeline of the Gazans, the Rafah crossing. Egyptian authorities have put restrictions on the people going through the crossing in response to the tense situation in the Sinai. This has raised concerns among the Gazans.
So far, the situation here is very bad. We hope that the Egyptian side changes the current conditions in order to reopen the Rafah crossing. If it continues this way, then the people of Gaza will face a catastrophe.
Egypt has only partially opened the terminal since the country's president, Mohamed Morsi, was ousted by the military. It has also destroyed the surrounding tunnels, which are used as a supply line by the Palestinians. As Palestinians are grappling with their daily hardship, the U.S. is pushing against a possible boycott of Israeli goods by European countries due to Tel Aviv's settlement expansions. Speaking in Paris, U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry said,
Prime Minister Netanyahu took the risk of coming to the talks, because he has paid some political price for making his decision that this was worth doing and that he would release prisoners and take steps to advance the peace process. Because of that, I think it's important for Europe to say in return, see what this gets. This gets a change in our relationship, a change for the better.
Kerry did not speak of the years-long Israeli siege of the Palestinians in Gaza. His remarks come as many in the Middle East do not consider the U.S. as an impartial mediator. The U.S. has shielded Israel from numerous U.N. Security Council resolutions over its violation of the international law since the regime was installed in the Middle East decades ago.
I'd like to welcome my guest to the program from Gaza, American activist Mr. Joe Carton. And out of Washington, President of Middle East Research Center, Mr. Richard Hellman. Thank you both for being with us. Let me start this off in Washington with Richard Hellman. Now, the United States continue to say that both parties, the Palestinians and the Israelis, must make concessions in order to be successful in finding a solution to the Palestinian crisis. Israel has continued to grab more and more land and has built more illegal settlements on this stolen land. Why do you think that Washington chooses to keep silent about this?
Well, first, because the land that is being built upon is state lands, the lands that were state lands under the British Palestine mandate from 1917 to 1947 or 1948. And second, both sides are building like mad. In fact, the Palestinian Arabs are building six times as many units of housing as the Jewish Israelis are, and nobody is complaining about that. And these are still contested territories at best. There is a negotiation underway if Mahmoud Abbas, if Abu Mazen would come to the table and talk without preconditions, he could get, I'm sure, what Olmert offered him and what Clinton offered Yasser Arafat in years past, but they walked away from it. So you can't get concessions or a settlement if you don't come to the table and talk. And okay. I've been amazed that Netanyahu has taken so many political risks in his government because his public saw what happened. They pulled out of Gaza and they got thousands of rockets from Gaza. They didn't get peace. They didn't get the Palestinian Arabs creating a Riviera on the Mediterranean, which they could have done, but instead they got thousands of rockets fired at their schools and homes.
All right,
and
let me turn to Gaza itself and get Joe Carton in on this. What's your take on what Mr. Hellman has said, that he says basically it's Israel that actually going out of its way, and that the Palestinians are actually building even more than the Israelis themselves?
Well, I would like to start with a brief rebuttal to Mr. Hellman's statement about thousands of rockets out of Gaza. He speaks of Palestinian resistance to Israeli aggression. He never speaks of the aggression itself. From the day that it withdrew from the Gaza Strip, Israel has never stopped its attacks upon the population here, be it periodic airstrikes, snipers shooting farmers in the areas along the separation barrier, or naval warships attacking fishermen at sea. Gaza has not seen a day of peace from the Israelis. The number of Israeli bombs dropped upon the Gaza Strip dwarf anything that has been sent in response, and this is hardly a secret. Beyond that, he characterizes the West Bank as contested territory. This is a fair description of the Israeli government position. It is unfortunately not a position that is shared by any other responsible party in the world, including our own government, the United States government. As a matter of official policy, rarely stated, the United States government still considers every settlement in the West Bank illegal, which clearly they are. They are grave violations of the Fourth Geneva Convention, I believe is the accepted legal terminology. And this is something that is recognized by everyone from the United Nations and the International Committee of the Red Cross to the entire spectrum of world governments. As for Palestinians building there, they are residents of an occupied territory. Again, they are universally recognized as such, except by the Israeli government. I know of no one aside from it and its supporters who will dispute this.
What about that, Mr. Hellman? If we look at, according to international law, what Israel is doing is illegal. The settlement building is illegal. On the one hand, we know, as our guest has said in Washington, that the United States also accepts that it's illegal. The United Nations also accepts that it's illegal. However, we do not hear a whole lot of noise, if you want to say, out of Washington complaining about this expansionism, illegal expansionism by Israel. Why do you think that that's the case?
Well, I think this is because the United Nations and our State Department are wrong on international law. Israelis, or in that day, the Jewish settlement in Mandate Palestine, when under the British rule for those 40 years, the Jewish community was directed to settle the land and to create a Jewish homeland, recreate a Jewish homeland in that place with due respect for other nationalities and religions. And that's exactly what the Jewish community did and is doing to this day. And there has never been a revocation of the terms of reference from the San Remo Treaty and other valid international agreements by virtually all the nations of the world that commanded the and directed the Jewish community to settle the land closely, which they've been doing. And as a matter of fact, this has produced a vast economic and social and educational, cultural, even environmental advance for the Palestinian Arabs as well as for the Jews in these areas. They are living at a higher standard of living with more democracy than the rest of the Arab world, and I dare say without the civil wars and intercommunal violence that we are seeing all around Israel. Israel and the so-called contested territories are an island of peace compared to insecurity and economic prosperity. Even Gaza has shopping malls and a relatively high standard of living compared to their neighbors in Egypt and other Arab countries.
All right, let me switch you over to Gaza.
They do.
Let me switch
over to Gaza. They should come to the table. They should make an agreement.
And get Mr.
Carton. But the situation is basically good.
Thank you, Mr. Helmut. Mr. Carton, your take. High standard of living in Gaza. I want to look at what Mr. Helmut is saying. Basically, he said the international law is wrong when it comes to Israel because Israel has the right to actually go beyond these limitations that have been set up by the world, according to the UN and others. Your take on that, and let's talk about that standard of living that he has just mentioned in the Gaza Strip.
Well, I'll start with the question of international law. I will be the first to admit that I am by no means an expert on it. I try to acquaint myself with any universal consensus about it. When every responsible party in the world agrees that it says something, that is frankly good enough for me. If everyone, as I said, from the United Nations and the International Committee of the Red Cross to the United States and every other government in the world, minus one, says that international law declares Israel's West Bank settlements illegal, grave violations of the Fourth Geneva Convention, then I'm satisfied. If Mr. Hellman wishes to fight an uphill battle against a universal consensus, then he can have at it. It's not something in which I'm going to involve myself. As for Gaza's standard of living, it's true that it's not the most wretched place in the world. At the same time, there is a great deal of deprivation here. A large majority of the population lives in poverty. But more importantly than that, a large proportion of the population, two-thirds, are denied their rights as refugees. Mr. Hellman spoke of Israel being founded by Jews who recognized, I apologize, I don't remember his exact wording, but something to do with the rights of other ethnic and religious communities. Well, Israel was founded on the ethnic cleansing of 650,000 Palestinians who were driven from their homes. This is something that is attested to in everything from the diaries of David Ben-Gurion to the records kept by UN observers. At the time, they didn't do much, but they did, in fact, observe and write things down. It's not exactly a secret these days. The process continued in 1967 when another 400,000 were driven out of Palestine, and it continues today with an ongoing process of displacement. We see this even at this moment with the Prower Plan being considered in the Israeli legislature, the Knesset, which would displace 40,000 more Bedouin Palestinians from their homes in the Negev Desert, not far from here. The idea that Israel is some kind of tolerant, multicultural paradise, this is simply spurious. It's not something anyone who has spent 5 minutes examining the actual situation here and the conditions that Israel imposes on the populations
Mr. Carton, let me just jump in here. You have expressed, as far as the current situation there, why do you think then that basically mum is the word coming out of Washington when we're talking about these human rights abuses that's taking place by Israel and the Palestinians?
Well, there are several answers. The most obvious one, of course, is that the pro-Israel lobby in the United States is one of our strongest domestic pressure groups. It has a number of supporters who are very capable of pressuring our government to get what they want. We see this now, for example, in the case of AIPAC and its satellite organizations mobilizing support for a tremendously unpopular war in Syria, a war rejected by the overwhelming majority of the American people. So at this moment, we have something which I don't remember before in my lifetime, a direct face-off between the American people, the overwhelming majority of us, and the Israel lobby. It will be very interesting to see how that one shakes out.
All right, well, let's switch over. Viewers, I want to get our Facebook viewers' comments in on this. Let's check it out.
What's really driving me crazy is that the Palestinians still have confidence in Washington to sponsor fair peace talks with Israel that could lead to an independent state of Palestine. The U.S. has done nothing to ease the pain of Palestinians in the Gaza Strip. Instead, it gives all the support for Israel's plans to build new settler units on Palestinian land. The U.S. partiality for the interests of Israel is not anything new. Washington's vetoes against Tel Aviv's violations of international law and human rights are good proof of American favoritism. The U.S. has always given Israel immunity from prosecution for conducting war crimes and crimes against humanity. It's really a shame that both Israel and Egypt under the new leadership are working on the same goal, weakening the resistance movement of Hamas by imposing collective punishment on Gazan people. The new Egyptian government has the right to fight terrorism, but not a resistance group. This will only help Israel.
Well, what about that, Mr. Hellman? I'd like your take on some of our comments by our Facebook viewers. Do you see a difference between what the Egyptian government does and what the Israeli government does, or basically in trying to control the Palestinians and not allow free movement? We see the situation right now in the Rafah crossing getting worse and worse every day.
Well, we must look at the overall situation. In the Sinai today, clearly the Egyptian government sees a threat from radical Islamist groups in the Sinai, where scores of their policemen and others have been murdered and assassinated. So Egypt is doing its best to assert its authority in the Sinai and to control radical elements. In the course of that, they find themselves opposed by Hamas, which is a daughter organization of the Muslim Brotherhood, which has been put on the shelf by the present government of Egypt. So that's a fight where Israel is not directly involved, except that Israel wants a quiet southern border, and for that matter, a quiet border with Gaza. If the residents and citizens of Gaza had created an economic powerhouse as they were in a place of democracy and freedom and more, as they were able to do after Israel pulled out lock, stock, and barrel in 2005, Gaza today would be a great example to the world of how a less developed part of the world could become a great and vibrant area. But that was not done.
Let me just jump in, Mr. Hellman. How would you say that they would do that?
The powers that be in Gaza have been firing
rockets. Answer my question, sir, on this situation you just mentioned.
The people in Gaza have been firing rockets.
How would you say, Mr. Hellman, listen to my question, follow up. How would you say that the Gaza Strip would be able to do that when basically they were cut off from the outside world by Israel?
Let me tell you, they would not have been cut off from the outside world if there was, and they were not. As a matter of fact, Israel has loosened up the restrictions on transportation of goods to and from the Gaza Strip greatly in recent years. But from the beginning, there was the problem of the Gaza Strip, particularly under Hamas, being a hotbed of terrorism and where thousands of rockets were fired against Israel. That seemed to be the modus vivendi, the modus operandi. And the people of Gaza were given the greenhouses and the agricultural enterprises, which were worth $100 million a year in produce, but they were destroyed and they were never used, despite the promise of capital from a number of billionaires around the world. So the people of Gaza, and today Israel is going into peace talks, although the people of Gaza are ruled by Hamas, and the people of Judea and Samaria, or the West Bank, if you will, the Arabs are ruled by Fatah.
Okay.
And Fatah and Hamas can't get together.
To Gaza,
they have not had an election in 7 years.
Carlton,
so how can you negotiate with someone who can't promise you peace or security?
Mr. Carlton, turning to Gaza. Mr. Carlton, your take on what Mr. Hellman has said. Basically, he said that they should have been prospering in Gaza. There's no reason that they should not, because of be flourishing, because one of the freedom and the economic opportunity that they have had. I want to look at overall his statement about what he is saying. And finally, why do you think, though, that we continue to see this silence by the UN, basically, and also by the United States itself, who now has even said that they want the European Union actually to wait before implementing basically the boycott that they wanted to because of the settlement, Israeli settlement situation?
Well, aside from its obvious perpetual concerns with the well-being of Israel due to influence by, as I said, our domestic Israel lobby in the United States, I would imagine, I would speculate, that the United States government at the highest levels might be beginning to realize its isolation globally on the issue of Israel. It is becoming something of an embarrassment for our country. When we vetoed, for example, the resolution condemning Israeli settlements in 2011, that was something of which the entire world took note. There was no one in the world, except for the United States and a few of its satellite dependencies, Micronesia, etc., that were willing to stand up and support this criminal enterprise, as I've said, what is universally recognized as such.
All right, well, thank you so much, both of our guests, for being with us. Out of Washington, Richard Hellman, President, Middle East Research Center, and out of Gaza, American activist Joe Carlton. And as always, viewers, we appreciate you being with us. Join us same place, same time tomorrow. Marzia Hashemi signing out for the crew right here at the debate in Tehran. Thank you. Goodbye.